Hello and welcome to a new How Did You Make It? The podcast in which we explore each step that has built the career paths of various professionals through the discovery of their habits, passions, and interests over the last few decades. I'm Yosra, your host, and today we meet Emma. Emma has been to more music festivals and DJ sets performances than most of the people you know, from Glastonbury, Tomorrowland, Coachella, and many more across the world. Why? Because she chose and worked tirelessly to become a brilliant creative in the music industry for the past 9 years. Born and raised in Malta, she walks us through every opportunity she seized before becoming the creative mind behind the brilliant content you see on the social media of the artists she worked or is still working with, as well as her own account. While her work didn't stop at the music industry, she also covers sports events and other global events. She gives you insight on what it takes to make it where she is today. But wait. She doesn't only wear the creative hats. She also is a cybersecurity graduate. And now you're asking yourself, how come? Didn't I just say that she's been working in that industry for almost a decade now? How is she also a cybersecurity graduate? Well, she managed to study while building her own professional path in the industry, and she tells you everything on how to manage it all. Her openness might change your perspective on how capable you can be. And she will invite you to work as hard as you can to be able to live your passion as well. If the music industry is not your calling, Emma will inspire you to pursue what drives you nonetheless. Let's learn from her. Hi, Emma. I'm so excited to have you on the pod today. The busiest season of the year is about to start as we record this episode, so before summer 2025. So I'm letting you explain how come as I'm handing it over to let you introduce yourself.
So hi, guys. I'm Emma Trante. I'm a content creator from Malta. I'm currently 28 years old. Oh, God, how to explain myself? I kind of do a million things in one. I love, for a living, I create content for artists, music artists. I work a lot in social media and marketing, and I do everything in between. But that's actually came from a bit of a different background, a tech background. I graduated in business and IT at the University of Malta, and then I continued doing my master's in Birmingham in the UK in cybersecurity. So actually by profession, I'm an ethical hacker. But life took a different path. I'm more into the creative route at the moment. Just taking life one step at a time.
I can't wait to share your story with the people listening to us. Let's first start with your definition of success.
That's a very interesting question, to be honest. Definition of success for me can be split into multiple, factors. In my line of work, it's to create some authenticity. So to create your own work that when people look at it, they say, that's Emma's. You know what I mean? To be well known in the industry for the work I produce, and that's these little things count for me for success. Also, the growth that I get, from starting from zero and growing along the way with different artists, being with different people, being, surrounded by like-minded individuals. I don't like kind of consider success in monetary values, but more in stages of life, when I manage to accomplish something I've been dreaming of doing. So a little example is I recently shot photographed a show in London, one of the most iconic UNESCO sites, called the Royal Albert Hall, which is a historic building where loads of artists have got famous and whatnot. And it's been on my bucket list, and recently I managed to go and shoot it with an artist, So these little pieces for me are the definition of I would say inverted brackets success. And, getting involved in different projects and obviously seeing their being involved in the hard work and then seeing the outcome of it, these little projects are a little success to your career, your history, and for everything in the future. It's a bit of a difficult question to answer, but I'm just giving you what comes to my mind straight away when you ask me that question.
Oh, there is a great insight here, a learning. You can break down your milestones, which leads you to your own success.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, it's about consistently creating and like impactful content on my end, you know, that resonates with that type of audience, with the music audience, with different types of age groups, you know, growing my influence in my work and you know, influencing people around me. Obviously, whilst earning a living in the sense, you know, because this is my work. But at least I create my creative voice, you know. So I create my stamp in my type of work, in whatever industry I'm working, where I'm working, how I work, you know. And that's my level of, I would say, success. It's all about, like, you know, the authenticity of your work, you know, the engagement of the audience, or building a community around you. Of like-minded or created individuals, you know, and then at the end of the day, reaching new audiences. So it's about being about the growth and the impact, you know, of inspiring others.
You know what? After all these years, almost a decade, right? I always, always, always recognize your work, whether it is shared by the artist, not even shared by you, and you're not even tagged there. I always recognize your work, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. Okay, let's get people on the line right now.
Thank you. Then that's my definition of success.
Let's deep dive into your teenage years, your middle school years. What kind of student were you? What kind of interests did you have? Did you have any passions? Were you enrolled in any extracurricular activities? What can you tell us?
Yeah, middle school years were, when I was growing up as a kid, I was very active, very sportive. I always wanted to be involved in everything. No matter how good or bad I was in it, I always wanted to be involved in every sport, in every kind of like drama lesson. You know, I was very into that creative world and music. I would say my favorite classes were physical activity and the art classes, you know, because I always had that little creative vision in me. My habits were... Oh, what my habits? I can't remember what my habits were, but I'd say my extracurricular activities was football, dance, tennis. But I would say my least favorite, I think, were the languages or the history classes. I was more of a, you know, touch and go type of person, you know, social interaction, these type of classes where you get time to discuss as a group, work with others, come up with ideas and concepts. So that's what I would say my childhood life was at school.
I would love for us to discuss a little bit more of what you just said. You said that you did go for an activity, whether you were good or not. Can you tell us a little bit more about it? Can you tell us a little bit more about your mindset at the time and if you still have it?
For me, it was also like a bit of a learning curve, you know. I could have not known anyone in the sport or in a group, but I was like, I wanted to try it. You never know who you can meet in terms of being joining a sport. You obviously join a group, you're joining a team. You become part of a community. You can be good or bad at it, but as long as you enjoy it, that's the most important thing. But if you never put yourself out there, you never try, then you never know. So I wanted to start tennis and I was like, oh, should I start? And I just said, you know what, I'm going to start. And till today, I still love it. I say, like, yes, of course, you should try these things, try everything, you know, that's when you learn more about yourself. And obviously, creating these little communities from when you're young, you know, besides helping you physically and keeping you healthy, you never know what that could lead to in the future. Very one of those who, you know, if who needed to speak in a group, you know, if I went abroad on a podium or something, I would volunteer. You know, I was always the person who'd be like, yes, no worries, guys, I'll take the lead. And I think it's helped me a bit in my type of line of work later down the line today, you know. I always say, if you never put yourself out there, if you never try, then you miss a lot of opportunities. You miss the networking section. And yeah, I mean, these little values translate in everyday life, basically.
You shared three important elements there. First, you talked about the proactiveness to either build or join a community. And if you're still a teenager or even a young adult and you feel like you have not found your community yet at school, at uni, wherever you are, joining a sports club or an art group, it will allow you to find like-minded people. The second point is that you might like the sport and play it throughout your life for fun. And the third point is that even if you think you're not mastering the sport, whatever it is, no one was born great. At any kind of sport, everyone has been learning and trying hard despite all the challenges. Because you know what? Sports help you disconnect from the craziness of your day, wherever you are at school, uni, or at work.
You have to try. If you don't try, you never know. Honestly, in anything, in sports, in learning a new subject at school, learning a new language, in work, you know, getting involved in something. If you try, you never know. That's what I say. So much for experience out there. There's so much to get involved in. There's so much to see, so much to learn. So I'm a person who was very like that from my young age, you know, where at the moment I'm still like that and I've grown old, you know what I mean? I always get excited to do something different, to get involved, to do something more.
You're right. And to wrap up on your early teenage years, do you remember receiving any advice from family members, close circle, or do you have any advice yourself for the aspiring artists listening to us?
In terms of advice like that, I always stick by that motto of, if you don't try, you never know. Again, the relationships you build around getting involved in these communities could last forever, number one, and something you don't take for granted. And again, don't wait for something to fall into your hands or fall into, you know, get involved, see what's around you. Again, at school, I used to be the person, you know, if there's an event, how can I be part of the organization committee? How can I bring my two cents to it, you know? What ideas can I share and generate? We used to have a lot of music events, you know, we used to have sports events, we used to have more of like the European politics side of events. When I had the opportunity to be part of the EU Parliament and whatnot, when I was younger, I was the first one to, you know, step forward. I'd be like, I'll speak on the podium, I'll do this, I'll do that. Because it's an experience, you know, and every experience counts nowadays.
By trying everything you can, and that's what we understand from Emma's experiences here, is that the more you try and the easier it will be for you to identify what you like doing or not. It will help you so much in life.
Agreed. And that was both in the like my middle school years and high school years, because basically those two are very well connected. As in back here in Malta, obviously you're in your middle school and your high school in the same school, you know, so you just keep developing until you hit university, basically.
And this is a perfect opening to the next part of your life, which is your high school years, late teenage years. Can you tell us all about it? Did you have similar interests? Did you change in any way?
Yes, because actually high school years, for us, it's kind of called sixth form. So it's like those 2 years before uni. And that's when you start to understand more about yourself and your interests and what you want to do. Why? Because you're forced to choose subjects, right? You're forced to understand like, okay, you might not know exactly, but what career path are you going to take? Because you obviously need to start studying and prioritizing, you know, your focus on those subjects to then develop further and pursue them at university. So obviously things started to change, you know, as I said, I started to get very into tech. So obviously I was always choosing, you know, the computing subjects, the same with the accounts. I was very on the mathematical side. So that always kept, that was always the same. I was still never a fan of history, geography and these type of things. And then obviously my creative side started growing. Yeah, I just started to enjoy. I had a phone at that time, not even a camera, you know, meeting up and being with people or being the one to be part of the media team at school, these little types of things. And I used to really enjoy it. And it's kind of where all my photography passion sort of took off as well. We were doing loads of events. We were, you know, at school, we had some films that we did as part of our curriculum studies for like Shakespeare and Macbeth. And I was always on the sidelines taking photos, you know. I was the only person who was involved and interested in this. And I started to spark an interest there. That's how I would say my photography career kind of started, ignited.
This is inspiring. So you started with the tools you had, a phone only, and the environment you were in. You did leave your own advice. You tried and the passion was born.
Agreed. And it's advice that I still give today. Get involved. Try out new stuff. You might hate it. Done. At least you had a feeling and you move on to the next thing, you know. You won't miss out on any opportunities like that. You network. And this tool starts from a young age. And can I tell you, discipline starts from a young age. So in the sense, if you get involved in sports, in teams, in competitions, these are all life lessons that help you, like shaping who you are. And helping you obviously later on in life. You know, like those type of people who are involved in sports, if they're not disciplined to wake up at a specific hour and train every day, then they're never going to get better, you know? Then discipline comes in many forms. It comes in your personal life, your work life.
I can't wait to talk more about your current life and how disciplined you still are after all this time. And so let's wrap up on your middle school, high school years, teenage years. What kind of student were you? Were you working hard every single day after school? How did it look like?
I had to work. I mean, I wasn't like the ace or academic student. I did very well, but I used to have to work for it. I used to have friends who just used to read a textbook and be like, we'll get 100, you know, wherever, whatever they do, because they have naturally that, you know, that beautiful, intelligent instinct in them. But no, I definitely had to work. I was the person which would start studying from a month before, you know what I mean, or 2 months before, that type of person. And obviously the subjects that I took, you know, in sense of computing, coding and stuff, it's not something you can read by heart and reapply in an exam. It's something which you have to understand the logic behind it, and then apply that into the exam, basically. But turning to the question, it was more about the discipline, right, aspect in the subject. Yes, I was one person to definitely work hard. I never got anything easy. For studying, I had to work hard. Where in a sport, I got involved and I had to work hard, you know. And obviously, you get better in things, but you have to put in the time and the hard work, because if you don't do that, then you're never going to progress.
Here you have two takeaways from Emma. First, nothing comes easy. Remember one thing from this school experience, you have to put the work in. The second thing is, if you are remotely interested in anything, give it your all and see what happens.
Exactly. And there's a lot of competition out there, you know, so there's a lot of people hungry for what you want to, you know, so if you don't attack it, you're going to be left on the sidelines. And obviously, if you start to like something, then you ignite a passion in you and you say, okay, this is interesting. What can I do next? How can I get more involved? How can I do more things related to it, you know? So like, that's why I say, but if you never try, you never know.
Exactly. And if you don't know where to start, ask everyone around you, teachers, family members of your friends, anyone you can see around you, ask them. And if none of them can help you, go on YouTube, look online, see what people have shared and see where you can start.
It's also a case of don't be shy to reach out, you know, get involved, reach out, ask questions, ask if you can be part of something.
And it's okay to be scared. A lot of us are shy. Life is all about getting out of your comfort zone, as you always end up having to learn something new. How to write, how to ride a bike, how to swim, and much more.
Agreed. I you said it perfectly, Astra.
Emma, did you receive any advice yourself on how to manage your challenges of those teenage years? Or did you receive any advice on where to go, what to do, how to navigate this transition towards higher education, which seems like a mountain we need to climb at that age?
Obviously, my parents always directed me and provided me advice. I had no idea what I wanted to do. I wasn't into tech. But like, looking at my life now, I'm like, took a different line, you know? There's so much you can get involved with, and this stress of life where everyone needs to know what they're doing, what they want to become, where they want to live. It's, you figure it out. This is a journey. It's a process. Life is a process. Life is a, there's no start and end. Just take it as it is.
Exactly. It's a journey. It's okay to have doubts and not knowing what to do or where to go. And to this day, I'm surrounded by 20 plus, 30 plus years old friends and colleagues who are either lost or don't know what to do or change their minds about their next steps consistently. And that's okay as well. But if you want to have some say in it, in your career path, give yourself the strength by investing in yourself, working, studying, volunteering, anything that makes sense, where you are and given your own situation.
Agreed. And as I say, if you're hungry for something, you go for it. Try it. You might not be good at it, but at least you said you tried it. Move on to something else. Spark your second interest.
Again, we are conscious that each financial situation is different. Each country offers different financial support and access to cultural events and opportunities. That's why we are sharing more mindset approaches rather than actual steps. And we want you to ask yourself the following up questions. How can I make this happen given my situation? What is my local city council or other structure offering? Is there any scholarship I can apply to? Is there any part-time volunteering opportunities I can seize on site or remotely? Are there anything I can use at home to start? Are there any charity shops, secondhand stores, I can purchase equipment to start my own journey? Ideally, it's for you to not see your situation as being a blocker, but seeing opportunities everywhere you start looking into.
It's about also wanting it, starting off from somewhere and not just sitting to wait until whatever happens, you know what I mean?
And so you ended up wanting to pursue two paths at the same time. As you reached your higher education path, you answered your creative calling and you were studying at the same time. First, can you tell us why you chose cybersecurity?
I studied tech. I was always fascinated with the digital world, always on my phone, had started to use the digital camera. So every little piece of equipment which was digital, I was very, very interested in. So obviously, I ended up doing my first degree, a Bachelor of Science in Business and IT, which touched both the business side of things and the aspects of technology within the business, you know. So I had a little bit of background of coding, then the background of community management systems for operations. So I got a big feeling from the front end and the back end, and I loved it. And when I finished university, I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. I had obviously been doing photography, but it was just a side hobby since then. And I did a bit of research online to see what was hot at that time in terms of job-wise, in terms of topics. And I kind of started to read more into the cybersecurity world and understanding the security of individuals' devices and everything online. And when I was doing some research, it was quite prominent. You know, they were saying, oh, it's the next big thing. And I'm like, you know what, it was the next big thing. I want to be part of the next big thing. I want to learn. I want to study. I want to know more. And that kind of like then sparked my interest in you know, understanding how ethical hacking works online, how easy it is for someone to access your information. And I decided to pursue a master's in the UK in cybersecurity. It wasn't easy at all. It was a very difficult and demanding degree. And I was possibly one of the youngest because people had work experience before they went in. But it was more about understanding the landscape and saying, okay, what am I going to do career-wise? What's available? What jobs are on the market? Then obviously, once you start to read into a subject and you start to like it, then why not go for it?
And how was your experience studying that?
My experience studying was a very difficult course, I must say. That for sure. Nothing compared to any other course I did. Why? Because, again, I was surrounded by people who are tech nerds, a lot of people who have had work experience, whilst I went directly from my university degree into my master's degree, which had its pros and cons, you know, but I was surrounded by people who had already worked in the industry, which made a massive difference, you know, because they encountered situations, they had more experience, they knew what to do, whilst I went there as a newbie. But you know what, it was something I was interested in doing, I wanted to study straight away, and I said, let me give it a try. You know what, at the end of the day, I have a degree on my name, a master's degree on my name, and if I never use it, then that's another case. I used to say, I'd be like, oh my God, everyone's 10 steps ahead. You know, they know when we used to have coding exams and stuff, they used to already know the language. And we used to be like, oh my God, I have to learn the language and then answer the questions, you know. So it was always a bit way more experienced. So things that took me 10 hours took them 1 hour, you know. But I never gave up. I never was a person to just give up and drop off. You know, number one, I moved country for this. I'm paying a university fee, which is, everyone knows how difficult that is. And I always wanted to have a degree to my name in something I'm interested to, because if I took a different line of work, which I ended up doing, I can always say, oh, I think I could fall back and do it. And plus, it's so heated at the moment, you know, it's such a hot topic that I chose a topic that will last forever in reality, with the more and more with the AI changing landscape, you know, the security and the protection online for personal identity theft and all this stuff is so important. So in reality, if I had to go back now, probably the salaries are even higher than they were when I came out.
Absolutely. Tech is a high-paying sector, and a degree in cybersecurity is still a crucial degree to have. And going back to your passion for photography, I would love for us to talk a little bit more of how it started. Did you have any mentors, someone who inspired you within your close circle, your family?
So basically, I come from quite an artistic family, as in my mom is a dance practitioner and has been a dance practitioner all her life. And basically, when she used to run a full-time company for over 20 years, and that means late night rehearsals, and I was still very young then. She had obviously just had my brother and I, and she would be rehearsing late for festivals that she'd be traveling around with and taking her company. And I was always be in the studio waiting for her until that finishes rehearsals. And towards the end of the company years, my mom had a camera like in her case, and I just used to pull it out of her case, and instead of just sitting and watching, getting a bit nervous and whatnot, I just started to randomly take photos and documented like the studio process of her rehearsals. And I seriously love it. I used to love using those little digital cameras at that time. You know, to zoom, you have to hold it to the side and it goes, zzz, you know, those like literally basic ones. Obviously, I was surrounded by like a very creative, till today, a very creative family, which was the biggest support. But I also started to like take photos, obviously in the theater and the studio, just for my mom, literally no professional equipment. And then obviously when I started to also hang out with friends and going out for parties and whatnot, I used to love just documenting the moments. I used to love it. So I used to take my camera out and no one used to take their camera out. And I kind of started to get a name for it, having, you know, the next day people asking me for a few photos that I took of my friends or stuff like that. Then I don't know. I think it just sparked an entire interest of like capturing moments. For me, it was something which I started off playing with something small and it grew into something bigger, you know. But I would say being around a creative background definitely helped, because we're all creating art at the end of the day.
And you started this creative journey at the same time you were studying. Can you tell us a little bit more how you created this opportunity for yourself to become a professional?
So basically, I started, I was constantly just doing tech, right? But from a young age, even studying back at home at the University of Malta, I used to get involved. As I said, I used to take my camera around with my friends when we were very young, 13, 14. And kind of my friends were always into the music scene, and they kind of started to create parties. And they used to be like, you can come along and take some photos. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And I kind of started to get known in the scene, you know, that the next day everyone's going to come ask me, can I have the photos of last night? It was the time where High Five and Facebook were at their high. And obviously these friends of mine who started organizing small events started organizing bigger ones, bigger club nights, and all this got me involved. So basically I used to study during the week, you know, and then on the weekend do my utmost to get involved in any show that there was around the island. If there was an international DJ, I was the first person messaging the promoter, hey, can I shoot your event? I'll do it for free, you know. But at least I was there, I shot the event, I got the content, I have stuff to share. I used to be sharing them to the artists directly, teams, myself, like, hey, these are your photos of last night. If you want to check them out and get rejection each time or no response, which was also very difficult. But I said, if I'm getting known for this stuff and people are starting to recognize that they want to book me for these little events in Malta, then why not give it some extra thought, you know? And this was all happening in conjunction whilst I was studying technology. And I started to do small club nights, and from the small club nights and getting involved in the bigger ones, then I started to do the bigger festivals here and taking over the scene and the media teams of there, where to the point where I basically shot one random event. It was on a Wednesday night. I was a student. They were told me they were going to pay me double because it was such a last minute request on the day. And I was like, you know what? I need the money. Let's do it. You know, I went, and it was, to my surprise, was these female DJs, Nervo, who were the top number one DJs when EDM was at its peak, you know, David Guetta's, Martin Garrix's and whatnot. And I was very surprised how basically I was asked to shoot this event, but the club wasn't sold out, you know. And the promoter booked me to document the venue. And you'd think a number one DJ would sell out a venue here, but maybe they didn't resonate so much with the crowd in general, or maybe that music wasn't tailor-made to what people go out to listen to. But anyways, I did my utmost to make sure that I managed to conquer this club and their performance and their energy in every shape and form without making it look empty. And obviously, did my work, collect my double pay, obviously, because it was student life times when any penny counts. And I continued my life. And obviously, as this all started actually when Yosra and I met back in the day when we were studying in Coventry. I think it was maybe 4 or 5 months into the little studies, and I was studying in the university my course. If I was on Erasmus, the student exchange, and I received this random call from Australia saying, "Hey, we're Nervo. We loved your photos of the event we did in Malta. Please know this event was like in June, you know, so it was a long, long time ago." Till when they called me and they said, "We loved your photos. They're still on our desktop. We want to try and take you on tour." And at that point, I had no idea what tour actually meant. Like, tour. And they were like, "Yes, yes, where you can take photos of us and help us around logistics." I'm like, "Okay, that sounds cool." And they offered me Mexico and Costa Rica over Christmas period and New Year's. But because I was on Erasmus and living away from home for 6 months, I was very, very, like, I just wanted to go home for Christmas because it's a very special family occasion for me. And I have a good, like, for me, family values are very important. So I said no, I rejected them. And as soon as I cut that phone call, I'm like, "Oh my God, I just lost a bloody good job," you know. But a week after, they came back and they said, "Listen, we'd still like to try you. We're going to try you. Locality, you know, where they were booked." And before I knew it, they said, "Can you come to India?" And I was like, "What? India? I never even left Europe." And I was like, "Yep, I'm in. And, you know, that same day they sent me the flights. I was like, "Oh my God, I'm going to India alone." Like, that has never even happened.
Can you share the impact of that event on you, on your creative journey, on how you approach the content that you're creating?
Honestly, from that event that I do them all the way till today, which is approximately maybe 9 years down the line, it was all like my work, in the sense I document the artists of the journey. And then when I document the artists of the journey, I don't just document the shows of like 50K people each time. I document the behind the scenes, where the artist eats, where the artist hangs, what dressing room look like, what are the hobbies, you know. So I do all this little back-end stuff whilst shooting the show. And whilst I was with Nervo at that same time, they said, "Listen, we see you very capable in kind of what you're doing. Can you also be our tour manager?" And tour manager was another level because you get involved in sound check, light check, you know, all the things pre the actual event. And then you get before the event, when you're looked in with promoters, you approve artwork, you do logistics, you know, you send them the flights, the times we're arriving and whatnot. The role tour manager covers a lot of different instincts, you know. But and I was doing this on top of social media and content. So I was doing so much, which was crazy. And I was traveling with 2 female DJs at that time, which obviously helped, you know. And after doing that for 4 years, from one experience to another, I then got scouted by Sigala. I did 1 year with Sigala. I did 1 year with also Luciano, the house DJ. I moved to Jamie Jones, who I'm with currently for 7 years. And recently I've been involved in Paul Cox's Ginger DJ team, and I do a lot for them. And you know what I say, it was one opportunity that I shot on a Wednesday night, and look at the array of people that have opened up their borders for me, you know, to work with.
First, thank you so much, Emma, for summing up countless hours and years of work, dedication and passion under 5 minutes. This is brilliant. And yes, that single step changed your path and you seized an opportunity that made the difference.
So interesting. It was an interesting part. Yeah, I look back and I say, wow, if I didn't take that step, I would have never met these people or been involved. Wow, if I said no, then I would have never gone to that event back at that time. And I say, wow, I made the right decision. But it's because it's not easy to go to India for 1 day. 16 hours is all I did. And I flew there 16 hours and I flew back. I was young. I was still finishing my degree. It was something which was evolving. And from one show in India, I turned into a summer to Easter tour, you know, 3 weeks, then it turned towards summer. And things kept on going and going and going and going. So I must say it's been quite a ride to give you that in a bit of a nutshell.
You faced a certain amount of rejection and it didn't stop you. What can you tell our listener who is currently facing the same challenge as he or she is trying to have their own breakthrough?
Listen, rejection is never easy, but you must take it to digest it and move on to the next thing. There's a lot of competition out there. Why me? Why would they pick me? Why would they choose me over someone else? What am I offering? So obviously, it could be that they're looking for someone specific at that time from some specific place and whatnot. But I also come from a very small island, Yosra, and to be doing what I do on such an international level is very different. And they say, why me? Because many, many people have tried this job. Many people have done it before, you know. And it's when you establish working with the biggest artists, basically, that there are around and are very hot on the market at the moment. This is why I draw back to the principle of discipline, because you need to work very fast. You need to work. You're around high-end artists. So you need to have that sense of discipline. You need to, you know, mentally keep and physically keep fit, because it's also something which is very, you know, demanding and challenging as a job. But again, I draw back to the fact that if I never did that one gig in Malta, then I would have never got the opportunity to do all that I'm doing now. So that's why I say put yourself out there. Every opportunity counts. I thought I was going to just shoot a local club from a promoter, you know, and obviously there was a female DJ, but didn't think much to it. You know, and look at me now, in the sense I've been traveling with different artists for over 9 years. I sent out a million emails before I even started touring, loads. And everyone was like, no, 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 no. And I didn't even have a name to my entire brand. I had not one artist name, you know. And you send emails. You have to understand that rejection is part of the process. Can't be told yes to everything. It's the same thing when you work with people, when you come up with an idea, when you brainstorm, when you put things on the table and they say, no, we don't like this. Agreed, that's rejection. You take it and you work on it instead of treating it really badly. It's so normal, especially nowadays where there's competition on everything. You know how many emails I sent in 2016, 2017 because I wanted to do this? You know, it was a very, very big thing for me that I wanted to start doing stuff internationally because I was shooting so many shows here in Malta. You know, with international DJs. When I say I shot my shot, you know, I sent my content to the artists after I did it, this club, and 6 months later, they still remembered me. You know, so rejection is part of the process. Everyone needs to go through it. It only makes you stronger on the other end. You know, you must never lose, even if you're getting rejected upon rejection, After those 50 rejections, you're going to get that one yes, and that one yes is what's going to count.
First, big shout out to Navo for choosing the best creative out there. And I do invite you to take notes from what Emma just said. You take rejection and you work with it instead of treating it badly. After the rejection, which seems countless, you will get a yes as long as you still want to fight for it. Also, what I liked and what you just said, and I hope that you will also remember this, you were offered your first opportunity during Christmas, New Year's, and you refused it. You took the risk because your values were strong.
Yes, agreed. Something like Christmas only comes once a year, and I also have a big family, and because I was living abroad, I was like, still, I didn't want to miss it, and I still wouldn't miss it for anything. Yeah. Sets of values are important to have, whether it's family values, whether it's work values, whether it's, you know, you have to create your own values and you have to live by them. Obviously, it would have been an amazing opportunity to go to Mexico and Costa Rica. Back then I would have never gone to them and never thought of going to them, you know. But like fast forward down the line, I've been to both Mexico and Costa Rica multiple times now, you know. So obviously, if you feel it's right, go for it. And you have to make sacrifices. But something like for me, for Christmas with a big family, not only that I don't get to see them, it's a special event. So I just, you know, stuck to my gut and said, listen, I cannot do it, you know. And obviously, when I said then rejected that, I was like, oh my God, I just missed out a big opportunity. But in life, you have to pick and choose your battles, even though it's not in a sense of a battle. But you have to pick and choose, you know.
And everything you just shared was in parallel to your studies. So how did you manage it all?
Yeah, so the crazy thing is when I actually even started touring, again, 9 years down the line, I was still doing writing my thesis of my bachelor's and then still studying. So I used to study from Monday to Friday in the library, and from Friday to Sunday, this was my master's now, I used to travel. I used to do 3 shows and come back and focus on studying. I had a bit of a different life to the regular student. For me, it was study from Monday to Friday, and my course was so hard I needed to study. And on the weekend, it was like, I don't know, do Poland, Budapest and Italy. You know, another week comes, same thing. So I was very focused, you know, I wanted something. I got an opportunity of a lifetime and I said, how am I going to manage? I need to do them both. Funnily enough, I then ended up submitting my thesis in Gibraltar because I had a show that day then. And I was like, oh my God, the internet is going to work for sure. But I ended up submitting my thesis in Gibraltar and obviously I balanced it. You know, if I came home from a show and I still had adrenaline, and I would open up my laptop and start working on it, start coding, start doing reports. So again, it's all about managing your time, knowing what you want and putting yourself out there. It's better to do everything now than doing it at later on in life, you know, because I say more, imagine I had to do my master's now. I just wouldn't see myself studying.
So what does it take to succeed in your field, in the different world you've been endorsing within the music industry? You are doing way more than what we can see on your Instagram, each hunter. What do people who want to make it there need to know? You talked about discipline, passion, being highly focused.
Yes. Number one, it's a very hard industry. You know, working in the music industry is extremely hard, extremely competition, you know, extreme competition. But again, when someone sees you being disciplined, working well, producing, being on top of your game, you know, drawing inspiration from others, getting involved, coming up, you know, discussing ideas, being a team player, all these little aspects in life come out in work. Obviously, back then I was doing both tour managing and both photography. So it was like two jobs in one. And, you know, it's no joke because I'm dealing with the logistics of high-end artists and then I'm going to a show and I'm still doing the whole behind the scenes, you know, photo sessions, you know, the entire show. So I had to constantly deliver. And on top of this, I did a master's degree. My master's degree was so difficult. I cannot even tell you that I that's the reason why I had to put my mind to it. I knew it was 1 year, you get it done, you know, you get it done. But balancing them was no joke, you know. I didn't even seek advice or anything like that. I just had to get it done. It's not forever. It was something that I was going to invest in my future. Plus, I never knew I would have got this job with traveling with DJs, you know.
How did you grow in your role? How did you become that creative mind behind so many artists?
And from Nervo, I went to Sigala. From Sigala, I also then moved to Jamie Jones. I got an opportunity to do one show with him, which then led to till today. So I've been 7 years touring with him. He's obviously a more house and techno DJ. In between, I also worked an entire with Luciano, who's another big DJ. You know, this was all through word of mouth. I also worked with Will Carl Cox. Now it's kind of wrapping up over a year. So my story is I started from one artist, but now I developed into doing, you know, over 8 artists. And this was all, I never wrote a CV, I never applied for a job, but it was like, if you put your mind to it and you develop good work and you're a good team player and you're good around people, especially being high profile people, the word travels, word of mouth, you know. Obviously, social media helps and you put out your work on social media after the artist does and you say you've got involved, you've done this and whatnot. But in reality, it stems from you, you know. I moved from one to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. And that for me, it was important as a creative person to get involved in all these things because it gave me different energies, you know. But for me, it was all about trying to get involved with different people. How can I do this? What can I do? This year, I traveled. I've been doing shows with two very big UK artists, Becky Hill and Gary Barlow from Take That, you know. So it's all an evolution, and it's all from networking and being out there and putting your mind to it, doing your work, delivering on time, you know. So it's all a process. It's all a process.
And what's your secret, Emma? How do you manage your time? How did you make it happen? How are you still making it happen?
I actually still struggle with that today, funnily enough. Why? Because I'm human, man. I actually find time management very, very difficult. In fact, I'm so limited with time on everything I do in my personal life, in my work life, in my, you know, delivering assets, writing emails, doing admin stuff. It's time for me is a big issue. But again, you just juggle it. You learn how to deal with it. You learn how to get along with what you're doing, you know. The more you experience, the more you learn.
Yeah. And how do you overcome the challenges of your work? Between the travels and the on-site work, the creative work that you do on site and after during your editing and everything that comes with it. How do you prepare yourself to be the best version of yourself?
Because my life is so fast-paced, mentally and both physically, I have to stay on top of things. I have to be very fit. I still keep up more on my fitness, my running, my CrossFit. It's something which I have to keep up because otherwise I'm on the go 24/7 and I feel lethargic and lazy. So that's my physical side. I'm mentally dealing with all the travels, the work, you know, I have extra work on the side, which I do in social media marketing and whatnot. Balancing everything is a crazy act, but some way or another, you have to do it.
And your hard work and work ethic actually brought you a complete different experience during the past years.
Someone who believed in me gave me the opportunity to do a big, big, you know, project, which was part of the Dubai Expo. The Dubai Expo, basically how it works, is an expo, I think, happens every 4 or 5 years. And basically what it is it's, for example, the expo is 100 days and there are 100 pavilions. And a pavilion is like a little bit of a little building that represents your country. How can you showcase what your country is, your culture, your energy, your people, your landscapes and whatnot in a sort of building? Each day is a national day of a country. And basically for Malta's National Day, I got asked by the Malta Tourism Authority to be part of the creative direction of the entire day. And it's something massive because at the end of the day, the Prime Minister, President, all the politicians involved, you know, were coming up to see this National Day. And my role was to curate the day. So I had to understand what scenes there were at the space. So I had to understand what stages were available, what we could use, what we can't use. And then in my head, I need to create, you know, a kind of a program of how I can portray Malta, Malta's culture, Malta's history, Malta's geography through all these portals that I have to do work. You know, I had a main stage, I had two smaller stages around the expo. So basically I got together, you know, a dance group of freelancers and I got together two choreographers to create a piece about Malta and the history of Malta. I got the local singers here who are kind of more on that famous, you know, local national presence to be part of the singing and the entire piece that I created for the morning. I got up Maltese bands because we created evening entertainment. I created quite a lot of things, but I also, this was a massive project because it was representing my country. And I had everyone who was older than me and I was also still a bit younger, you know. But I also had a team of 90 people who I took up from Malta to Dubai. And it's a big, big, it's a big task. It's not an easy task. So for me, it was very important to, when I needed advice or when I needed help, to seek it. You know, I had not mentors, but like I was working with a team and it comes back to what I always said, you know. When I need help in when I'm stuck and I need help in brainstorming ideas, I ask. When I don't know things that I'm meant to know, I ask. How can I get involved? How can we do this? I would like to do this that no one's ever done. How can we set a meeting to discuss, you know? So it's I work with a very good team, but it was an amazing, I mean, I can go on forever about this, but it was an amazing opportunity. And it was something different to my music side of things, you know. So it gave me another creative aspect and another creative world that I could explore and experiment in.
Congrats on such a big achievement, Emma. And you shared a very important lesson here. Even in a position of leadership, you asked for help and guidance when needed. And again, what we advise you is, you should ask for help. You should ask for advice. Don't be shy. Don't think that you shouldn't be asking for help or advice. It will take you further than you think. You cannot be sure about everything in life, so keep asking as much as you can.
Exactly. No, 100%. I agree. You know, when you need help or when you need advice or you need these type of things, just reach out, you know. I was the youngest, one of the youngest in the entire group, yet I was leading the project, you know. So it was about someone believed in my creative vision and just let me explore and had a playground, you know, and had a budget, of course, which helped.
So what does it take to be like you, Emma? What would you tell someone who wants to follow exactly the steps that you took? Or wants to take the learnings that you had to their own industry?
It's quite a difficult question to answer, because I guess like every person is an individual. Everyone is different, you know. But what I can say from my end is, you know, if you want something, get involved. I started from a young age, from small clubs back at home to emailing DJs who are coming to Malta. Can I be please part of your event? Can I have a press pass? Can I have a free pass? But I was eager, you know, I had that eagerness inside me that I wanted something, you know, bigger and better. And when you show that, people will start to believe in you and include you in different projects. And it's all like I travel loads, but it's all about the networking. Whoever I've met along the way, I currently kind of work with, you know. And I say, like, we have so many strengths. We have so many strengths, so many talents, that I am a photographer, but, you know, my photography developed me into being a content creator, where I had to get into video and learn how to do good video editing. And then I was so put on the spot with some artists for social media, as I said, started to learn the whole social media game, which eventually I developed later on. How can I come up with creative ideas? How can I keep my artists in tangent and on the same line and same page as their audience? What do their audience want to see? How can I communicate with them better? How can we brainstorm these ideas? You know, so that all comes on the back end when I do this social media and this marketing type of stuff. And what I do is I source what's cool at the moment. I don't look at it as how can I do it better? How can I do it differently? Give it a different perspective, you know? I'm very passionate about my work. That's something I say and I do, which I don't actually mention in the beginning. But passion is everything. You want everything you're involved in to be the best work of you, the best version of you. So even if something is so small and it's on my mind and it's not done correctly, I would scrap it and do it correctly, because your name is behind it, you know? You're doing something which many people would love and dream of doing. Would take a job in seconds to do, because everyone obviously would like to travel the world. And mind you, it's beautiful. I've been doing it for 9 years, but it's also very, very difficult. You know, it's difficult on my body. As you mentioned, the fitness part, the no sleep. Again, not sleeping, you still have to deliver. You have to edit. You have to, you know, you're not seeing your friends. You're not seeing your family. You never have a weekend free. It's a lot.
You did mention that sometimes you board a plane and you just pass out of exhaustion. How do you still prioritize your sports activities, your workout, your run sessions when you're absolutely exhausted, when your mind is just telling you, just rest, don't do it?
I don't like feeling lethargic, and I don't feel, you know, that I'm not giving the importance my body needs with this life. And I got to know this 2 years ago when I did an operation, my knee. Basically, I had done my ACL operation, so I had done my ligaments, redid my ligaments, and it all happened from, I came back from tour, my body was exhausted, I went to play football with a group, and something so stupid happened, but I was like, how did I rupture all my ligaments with such a stupid collision? It wasn't anything crazy, but my body was very tired. Why? Because I wasn't keeping it strong enough or keeping the strength up, because it was getting midsummer, I was getting tired. And I'm like, it shouldn't be like that. You should be able to feel, obviously, there are ups and downs, so everyone's put inside. But it made me the whole process, because then I did an operation and 9 months recovery. And whilst it's 9 months recovery, I was touring. So I had no other option but to strengthen that leg and understand that, oh my God, I need this leg. I do have a new knee, which puts both of the parts of my leg together. But it opened the whole door of how important movement is. You know, we don't have to be running marathons and doing CrossFit and intense workouts. But, you know, if I have 5 to 10 to 15 minutes, I would go for a walk around the city quickly. Like that, I'm winning two things. I win seeing the city and I got 3,000 steps in, you know. And movement is important, because I sit down a lot in planes, you know, I do a lot of these things, and it helps me get through to the summer. And sometimes I'll be exhausted and sleep takes priority. But, you know, I was just in Ibiza last Saturday and I finished the opening of a new club, Universe. I was exhausted because we played from the morning, 9 a.m. till midday. I got home, I edited, so I was slept because I was exhausted. But then I woke up at 9, you know, and at 10 I was running the Ibiza Marina, because it's so important to get that movement in, no matter the time. Yes, it was 10 p.m., but I knew maybe the next day I had too much to get done, you know. So it's all about prioritizing in reality, in the end of the day. But yes, physical activity is very, very important. And all it takes is one little like thing to remind you of how important it is. And in my case, it was the operation in my knee.
It's a good reminder that you have to put yourself first. By deciding to be active, you're getting stronger mentally and physically. And that helps you to face the day, the week, the month ahead of you.
Agreed. 100%.
Almost seeing the end of the episode, unfortunately, but I would love to ask you this question on what would you tell your younger self if she's facing any doubts, any questions? What would you advise her?
Good question, to be fair. I would say, like, listen, no matter where you come from, no matter where you start from, there is no limit. I never studied photography. I never studied creativity. I did a whole different tech degree. But look at me now, in the sense, I work in creativity and I work in with high-end artists. And I did stuff, experiences like Glastonbury, Tomorrowland, Formula Ones around the world, you know, Coachellas, all the Ibiza clubs. I've done so much, you know, that I say, like, if I never gave up those nights, for example, back when I was younger, with my friends to go and pursue and take photos of an international DJ that was coming. I was very different, you know, so email the promoters to get involved when there's an international DJ coming over because I'd love to shoot it. But my friends would be off somewhere else having a different birthday or something like that. But for me, my passion came first. And I said, listen, these guys don't come to Malta every day. So how can I get involved, you know? So I would say, you know, like put yourself out there, network, get involved, try out new things. Things might not work. You might not get along with specific people when you work with them. It's fine. Like we're not all meant to get along with each other. We just need to find people that you can get on with in the sense and have a good working, establishing relationship with them. If something interests you as well and you're studying something else, why not pursue them both? Get involved, do different stuff, network. I always say till today, like I used to hate languages and now I always say I want to learn a new language. So it's like non-stop learning, non-stop. If there's something you like, you don't have to be qualified in it and whatnot. Yes, qualification always helps, especially to step back on. But at the end of the day, if you like something and you're good at it, why not go for it?
After those 9 years, do you still have doubts? And what would you tell someone who has probably similar doubts or even stronger ones?
Of course I had doubts and I have doubts till today. Is my work good enough? Are they going to like it? Is this and that? But can I tell you, sometimes people hire you because they like your work. They want you, not someone else, you know. Your work is good. So you also have to have some self-belief. I struggle with that personally, but I only come to terms with it when I get these little boosts of motivation. If someone posts a comment or someone posts this or I read something online, you know, or a magazine like featured me in a little log online thing. And these things always help, you know. It's good to compliment each other. It's good to let each other know that they're on the right path, their work is being noticed. They're growing. It's all about growing together. It's not about competing.
Yes, it's all about supporting each other, empowering each other, being there for each other. Thank you, Emma, for being so transparent and sharing so many advice. And to wrap up this episode, do you have any final advice for the next generation of creatives?
Actually, recently, funny enough, I did a little workshop for Apple back at home. And it was about creating and generating content on your iPhone. You don't need to have the most bombastic equipment to be the best content creator. I had this workshop and basically I had around 20 influencers, quite big in my hometown, Malta. And I taught them that with simple adjustments to photo settings and simple adjustments to lighting, you can create the best version of yourself. So for this Gen Z, don't think you need to have the best cameras and the best, most expensive lenses and whatnot, because in reality a lot of the content is also created with iPhone, which anyone can do. So it's about learning how to take those photos, those specific angles, and what to capture, and then putting it together.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your advice. Thank you for everything that you shared with us today. And also thank you for taking the time during the busiest time of the year for you.
Of course. That was a pleasure, actually. It was really, really also just nice to chat about it.
Yeah. Hope you got inspired. and hope you're just thinking about where and when to start your creative journey as well. Don't forget to subscribe and reach out through any social media platform to share your feedback on what you would love to learn from the next guests. See you soon.